Ladies and gentlemen, can I get a witness from the congregation? And a raucous Vox Box round of applause for Minnesota Vikings center John Sullivan joining us in the Vox Box, ladies and gentlemen. Bop, 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 bop.
What's up, man? How you doing?
What are you doing, man? What's going on
I'm
here?
Doing well. Okay.
The microphone got lost to your ever-expanding Ryan Fitzpatrick-looking beard.
Check. I actually just shaved it. I trimmed it down for Khalil's wedding.
Brett Kiesel, though.
Yeah, no, it was getting long like that. But what I was doing was trimming on the sides and then just letting the goatee part grow out.
So, whose wedding?
Khalil.
Yes, yeah, that's great
July
news.
July 8th, yeah.
No, that's great news, professionally speaking, because now his mind's strictly going to be on football.
I think it was anyway, but yeah, getting married is never a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Where was the wedding?
In St. Paul.
Sweet. Yeah. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. A couple of teammates there, you know. I didn't dance much, but.
Did he serve pizza?
No, there was no pizza.
No pieology?
No. I was surprised. Yeah, my wife brought that up.
She's hell?
Like, I'm sure they'll have pizzas there, but no pieology.
Here it is. What do you think?
I'm blown away. This is pretty nice. I've
seen
this for 2 minutes now. I just walked in. It's my first time.
It's your first time here, Johnny?
Yeah, it's my first time here.
Jeez. And you wore a nice lavender shirt to match the seats.
Thank you. Yeah, well, it's Vikings. You know?
Look great in lavender.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, not many men could wear lavender the way you do. You look fantastic.
Thank you so much. That's why I come on, is just to get compliments.
I don't care what Zach Kieran and Joe Berger say about you. I think you look terrific.
Yeah.
Man. So anyway, here it is.
I'm like speechless.
That's great.
I can't wait for the fans to see this. I can't wait for... You know, just the Vikings fan base to get into this facility and witness a game here. Oh, my. Can you imagine what the game's going to be like against Green Bay week two?
Yeah, it's – I mean, I was just telling the executive vice president, and I've told other people too, I know this is a little preposterous, but – and it's only a preseason game, but I'm telling you that August 28th San Diego preseason game is going to have as close to a regular – the first half is going to have as close to a regular season feel to it as any preseason game in the history of this team.
Yeah, is that the third preseason game?
Yeah, and it's the first football game in this building.
Yeah.
People are going to get here early. It's a noon game. It's nationally televised on NBC. Of course, it's on the Vikings radio network.
Absolutely. I'm blown
you guys,
away.
The best players are going to play through the first half. It's going to be super cool.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It'll be a nice way to open the stadium up. And I mean, just wait till you get in here. It's got, you know, I was part of, you know, the push for this over at the Capitol, and then, you know, the unveiling that I think you emceed that unveiling that night.
Correct. That was fun.
HKS showed, you know, the architecture, and they were giving the plans for the stadium. And, you know, they've designed two of the best stadiums in the NFL down in Dallas and then Lucas Oil.
Yep.
And this has kind of a blended feel of those. And, I mean, without a doubt, this is – and we have to see a game here. We know what the fans can do, but we have to prove it to everybody first. But this will be the most rocking stadium in the NFL. There's
Johnny,
no doubt about it.
With the laundry list of stadiums, Lucas Oil, Jerry Jones Palace, now the Palatial Purple Paradise, it's nice to be third in line. Because it's like when they do the second one, they're like, all right, don't tell anybody, but at Lucas or whatever – we kind of messed up a little bit on bing, 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 bing.
Yep.
Then they do the second one. They tighten things up. But then it's like, shh, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, it's like not buying a new car model like
Correct.
The first year when it comes out. Yeah, you've got to work the kinks out. And
for
clearly
instance,
they have.
These field suites down here that you can see behind the end zone, they, like at Dallas, I think they're sunken 2 or 3 feet.
Yep.
Where now they've done studies and everything where they put it at a level which is even better for the fan experience.
Yes, sight lines, obviously.
Sight lines, though.
It looks like they're – I mean, and granted, I haven't been up in the proverbial nosebleed seats, but it doesn't look like there's a bad seat in the house.
I know.
And look at your view. I mean, can you believe this?
It's unbelievable.
This is the press box where you'll be broadcasting
press from? Press box to your right.
Press
announcer's
box
booth. You're
announcer's
in
booth.
It calling
okay.
games.
Wow.
Sullivan pulling left flat. Caught. There goes so-and-so. Down the field on a nice screen. When's the last time you blocked down the field on a screen?
It's been a long time.
Think it hasn't?
Well, no. I mean, I guess I did during OTAs in a real game scenario, though.
Yeah,
no,
real
it's been,
game.
It's
2 years
been a long
ago.
Time. 2014.
2 years ago. Pull 65 out there, make some memories.
Yeah, that's
what
right.
we do. John Sullivan Center, Minnesota Vikings, U.S. Bank Stadium, FM 100.3, The Fam. You're better at explaining things than me. Now, you see, the Vikings bench is right in front of us.
Yep.
Okay, down in front of us.
Okay.
Faces will be facing north. Now, you see the yellow hashes.
Yep.
Well, that's the line where Rubes can't cross that line.
Yeah, the get back line is
but
what we
call
it.
But look the get back line. Look how close the seats are.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, Rubes are going to be up on you.
Right on top of the
action.
And
the opponent, you know
what
I mean?
But that's good. That's good. I mean, that helps create home field advantage. I mean, when you feel like... You know, when you're a team on the road, okay, and you get there, and our defense is coming at you, and our offense is scoring points, and the special teams is running downfield and smashing you, and then you go back to your sidelines, and you're trying to regroup,
yep.
and you literally have screaming Vikings fans right over your back, making it hard to communicate, making it a pressure-packed, tense situation. It's going to make it even harder for the visiting team, and that's exactly what you want in this scenario.
But what about for you guys? I mean, they're going to be.
But they're respectful of the home team. That's the best part. I mean, it's like being out there on offense.
Like that.
And they'll listen. I mean, look, they're a part of us winning football games, and our fans understand that.
Right.
It's really. I mean, do you remember some of the times at the old Metrodome? It's hard to believe we're on the same site.
Yeah.
But how crazy loud it was when they announced that Greg Lewis had, on review, had caught that pass from Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the crowd going nuts like that in this building?
The. Of my 14 years calling Vikings football, all of it was at the Metrodome, save for two at the rental the last 2 years.
Yep.
The noise level during the Dallas playoff game,
yes,
it's something I'll never forget as long as I live. I mean, the Greg Lewis bit was loud,
yep.
and there were loud moments.
But it was sustained.
Now,
the
Superdome the next week was the road version of the same thing.
Yes.
I mean, it was as loud as you'll ever hear.
Yep.
But for as Minneapolis goes, you know, you guys just kept scoring and scoring and scoring, it's Dallas to
Who
get to the
it?
NFC.
Was it Keith Brookings?
Was it guy Keith Brookings trying to start a fight?
he
ran over to your bench.
He was talking trash to me during that game. He was like, "You're the worst player on their offense. You're stealing your paycheck."
That's awesome.
I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, and
because we were just killing him.
And the score's running up like a slot machine.
He's
in
over
Vegas.
There. He's literally over there crying about it. You know, like, "Well, you guys are running up the score." It's like, you know, they're bringing Blitz Zero. That was because they brought Blitz Zero, and we threw the ball up to Sidney Rice. He scored that touchdown right at the end of the game.
Blitz Zero
he's
sounds like a great non-caffeinated soft drink. John Sullivan for a couple more minutes. All right, well, training camp next week. You report a week from today. You're on the field 8 days from today. Physically, clearly, you're ready.
Yeah.
You've cut some weight, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm light.
I mean, like, how light?
Around 300 pounds.
But, what kind of light is it? Is it a toned light, a stronger light?
It's a less body fat light.
Okay, good
I've come
you.
Into camp, you know, between... You know, right around 320 the past couple years.
Take some heat off that back.
Exactly. That was part of the thought was... You know, more flexible, longevity purposes, just play a little bit lighter.
Good.
You know, especially with technique and knowing what's coming and experience. If you want to squeeze every ounce of football left out of your body, you've got to take care of it. So that's what I've tried to do this offseason. I feel good. I'm strong. I'm ready. Lean mass-wise, I'm as heavy as I was a year ago at 320 coming in. It's just I've lost a lot of that fat. So
You're into your ninth year, but you're really like into your seventh year. Because you didn't play in 08, where you played minimally, and then you had last year.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to.
But you know
what
I'm saying?
It's hard to put it. Yeah, last year more than 08. But 08, I mean, I was playing, I was practicing every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, and last year was the worst year of my career physically. I mean, that's where I paid for it the most. But I do see what you're saying.
But like with Berger, you know, Berger has been in the league forever from Michigan Tech.
Yeah, I think he's going into 12 or 13.
Yeah, but he's been a backup the majority of his career.
Yeah.
So, therefore, it's a different type of 12th-year Michigan Tech than it is John Sullivan, 12 years Notre Dame, you know what I'm saying, where you start a majority of the time.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on, you know, how much tread you have left on the tire. And it's hard to quantify because, like you said, a guy who's been a career backup and then comes out and plays might have a little bit left. But at the same time, I mean, I know plenty of people in their 50s who have a lot of physical ailments, and they've never played professional football. So, you know, father time has a way of wearing you down regardless if you're playing in the NFL or if you're sitting at a desk job or if you're just, a normal person. So all I know is, you know, from a physical perspective for me, I feel good coming in. I went through OTAs, was perfectly healthy the entire time. And, I mean, we're out there working hard. I mean, we're grabbing people. We may not be hitting quite as hard with our shoulders, but we're putting our face into it, and we're practicing. So... when training camp opens, I'll be full go.
I know as a player, you don't miss two-a-days, or maybe you do.
I don't.
I shouldn't speak for you, but when it comes to honing the finer points of the National Football League and playing football at the highest level, I wonder if football was a better game when they were having two-a-days up to the regular season. Just a tighter game, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know. I have a hard time with that because I really think, you know, two-a-days are from an era where – guys had to work during the offseason, okay? We didn't have the massive player contracts. I mean, they were professional football players because they were collecting paychecks, but a lot of these guys had to have supplemental income during the offseason. We're in shape 12 months a year now as football players. You take a little bit of time off at the end of the season to recover. But other than that, I mean, I'm never out of shape. So I don't need two-a-day practices to play my way back in.
Got it.
We've got an off-season program starting in April that went great with Brent Salazar this year. We've got the OTA practices. We've got mini-camp practices. I took 2 weeks off after mini-camp was over and then right back into it right at the beginning of July, end of June. And, you know, I did our conditioning test with Brent Salazar this morning and then headed over this way. So, I mean, we're in shape. We don't need two-a-days to play our way in. The only area where I think the restrictions in terms of the CBA and our practice time has affected, you know, the game a little bit is in terms of the development of young players.
Right.
The college game and NFL games are so divergent at this point just because of, you know, there are quite a few reasons, actually, but you don't see those guys developing quite as fast, especially on the offensive line.
John Sullivan, center for the Minnesota Vikings, U.S. Bank Stadium. Good seeing you again.
Good to see you, PA.
See you next week in Fankato.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back.